you ever find a preacher that's got it all figured out, you better run from that junk.
Amen.
Go ahead, Brother Adam. Everybody here has got a blessing tonight, surely.
Amen.
Brother Gary's kids singing, these youngins are singing, Holy Spirit moving in. I think a lot of us just got a little residual blessing. I believe the Lord came by like he did tonight just for old Adam and Christy tonight. Because the heavy load they carried in their heart.
Amen.
We just got some of the overflow. Amen. Thank you, guys. Y'all go ahead. Take your Bible and turn to Acts chapter number 12. I'm going to be straight up dead honest with you. Somebody will probably say, how in the world did you come up with this thought? The Lord gave it to me via Steve Cox. As Brother Steve was preaching the other night, I began to listen and look at what he was saying and what he was preaching, and I thought, boy, our people need to hear this. And all the years I've been pastoring, been in the ministry, never heard this person preached on, I don't think, in my life, Brother Charles. But there's a young lady in Acts chapter number 12 by the name of Rhoda. And we're going to talk about Rhoda for just a minute. Can you not hear me, Brother Freddie? Am I not on? I'm ringing. Cut that one off, Brother James, the pulpit. Did that stop it? I still hear a little ring. No, it stopped? Okay, good, good. I've heard preaching from this chapter. You know the story, Peter's in jail, and they pray him out. And he shows up the door, and they don't even believe it's him. Rhoda's the little girl. We'll read the scripture tonight, and I'll just share the thought with you. I probably won't preach long. I'll preach fast if you'll listen fast. It's already been good to be in church, hadn't it?
Amen.
I could leave tonight, and I'm hoping the preaching don't kill the spirit that's already been here. And the Bible said in verse number 5, preaching won't hurt you, though. Amen?
Amen.
Say amen right there. Andrew said keep preaching. I'm going to keep preaching. Amen. Verse 5, the Bible said, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing. I like that.
Amen.
Of the church unto God. Say the last two words.
For
him. For him. Prayer was made without ceasing for him. Let me tell you something. Whether your preacher's in jail, or whether he's preaching in Philadelphia, or whether he's in Alabama, or whether he's standing right here in Villarica, you ought to pray for the man of God.
Amen.
Amen. My little country preacher growing up at White Oak, I would pray every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, God, give my preacher what I need.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hey, I promise you one thing, your preacher prays for you.
Amen.
I appreciate you praying for me.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Sometimes me and Sister Angel fall asleep on the couch, or one thing will happen or the other, and I won't do the prayer line. And my mama, bless her heart, that's a cardinal sin if I don't do the prayer line every night. Stay with me right here. How many of you remember what the prayer line was started for? Just a few. Anybody? Thank you, Brother Barry. You remember what it was called? The pastor's what?
Prayer team.
The prayer line was the main focus of that thing. That was every day you'd set aside some time to pray for your preacher.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. What are you saying, brother? You need our prayers? I sure do.
Yes, sir.
I covet your prayers. And I thank God for those who pray for me. I thank God for Sister Peggy in that nursing home. When that big hand, that little hand gets on 7, and that
wrongfully in prison, that put the church on their knee. Hey, we ought to get on our knees before jail.
Amen.
I may never get to the thought tonight, but we ought to get on our knees before trouble comes.
Amen.
You ought to pray for a hedge of protection about me as I travel and as I go in and out among our people. I'm a human being. Amen. I'd like to stand here and tell you I know for a fact I'll never mess up, but I'm a man. I'm stupid at best. I mean, God's been gracious for 20 years. For longer than that, for over 30 years, but 20 years I've been a pastor. I've been faithful to my wife.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I don't know why I'm saying all this, but I promise you I've never had impure thoughts about your children or about your wife.
Amen.
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 Y'all all right? If a man starts having impure thoughts about children, brother, he's got a problem.
Amen.
I mean a major problem. He starts coveting another man's wife, he's got trouble.
Amen.
God has protected us from all that kind of junk in this place, and I thank God for it.
Yes,
but I believe a lot of reason for it is the prayers that go up for me day in and day out and day in and day out. Granny Faye turned 87 yesterday. I don't know how much longer she'll be here. Who's going to take her place?
Amen.
I don't know if there's anybody left that'll pray for me like my grandmother does. Y'all all right?
Amen.
That ain't got nothing to do with my message, but it just jumped out at me. I appreciate it if you'd pray.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, I don't pray because I don't know what to say. I'll give you plenty.
Amen.
Just say Brother Eddie for about 30 minutes. That'll do. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I appreciate your prayer. Anyway, they prayed for him without ceasing. Verse 6, and when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. And the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly, and his chains fell off from his hand. The angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came to the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And when they went out and passed on through one street, forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews.
Amen.
And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together. Say it with me.
Praying.
And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so.
Amen.
Then said they, it is his angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. I want to back up to verse number 14. The Bible said, verse number 13, and Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. I want to point out a couple of things right quick. I'm going to leave a bunch of this out. I just want to give you the gist of the message. I want you to notice when Peter knocked at the gate, the Bible said that this little girl, this young lady, I don't know how old she was, Brother Freddy, but the Bible said that she knew his voice. I like that. And evidently, the scripture implies that the gate was not a see-through gate. She couldn't you heard was a bunch of noise. I believe if we could make this place total darkness tonight and everybody started talking, including me, and somebody said, find the voice of your preacher, there'd be some in here that could find me. I believe after praying with this young'un tonight, that young'un could find me.
Amen.
Amen. I get amazed sometimes these women, Brother Gary, carry these little old babies for 9 months and they're in church and they're in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and they have them little old babies, and they bring them to church, and we show them off, and they sit down in that pew with that brand new baby for the first time, and I get up preaching like a wild man, and that baby just doesn't move, doesn't flinch, doesn't bother that baby one bit. That baby already knows that voice, amen. That baby's been hearing that preaching for 9 months, amen. We ought to know the voice of the man of God. Does anything ever ring out in your mind, even when I ain't around? Boy, I'd be on my job back years ago. I could hear Brother Earl just as plain as day. Boy, I'd start to get into something I ought not to be into. I could hear the voice of my man of God. I could hear Brother Earl Partank rearing back that little fat stubby finger and preaching against the sin I'm about to commit. And boy, I'd hear my preacher's voice. Sometimes it seemed like he was right there. Amen. Thank God I could hear the voice of the man of God. Hey, and listen, by the way, not only should we know the voice of the man of God, we ought to know the voice of God himself. Some of you, it's been so long since God spoke to you. Somebody calls me on the phone that I hadn't talked to in a long time. I was laying on the couch last Saturday night. And my phone rang. I knew it was a North Carolina number. It had an 828 area code. And I thought, oh, I don't know who this is. So I answered the phone. And the voice on the other end said, what are you doing? Said, I'm laying on the couch like decent people ought to be doing. Resting. He talked on. The whole time he's talking, I'm thinking, who is this? He said, you don't even know who this is. I said, you read my mind. I said, it's familiar. Honest for the Lord, here's what the voice said. It's probably because you hadn't heard from me in a while. I said, come on, man, tell me who it is. He said, well, we're just driving down the interstate and we just passed the Villa Rica exit and had you on my mind. I said, who is this? He said, it's Todd Bennick. Y'all remember Brother Todd? Brought the motorcycle here and jumped over our steeple. I mean, boy, it was Brother Todd. And man, we talked for 30 minutes and just about old times and new times and what's going on with him. And they're supposed to stop back by on their way back through and they didn't do it. But yeah, listen, if that had been 15 years ago and Todd Bennett called me, I'd have known his voice that quick. But I hadn't heard from him in several years. So it took me some time. Well, I never did figure out. He had to tell me. I didn't recognize his voice because I hadn't heard it. The reason you don't recognize the voice of God when he's speaking to you, because it's been so long since you heard it. Are you listening? You can't tell me in our services that God doesn't speak in some way every time we meet.
whether it be in the song service. I believe that singing's pretty good preaching. Brother Gary's daughter got up there singing about when I fall down, he picks me up. I mean, boy, the Lord sat down in my lap right there and said, she's singing about you, bud. I've been picking you up for years, and by the way, I'll pick you up again and again and again. Hey, bro, that preached to my soul right there. Amen. Man, how you sat there just like a bunch of deaf mutes. I often wonder sometimes, are you in the same building? The lights is on, but nobody's home. You look like some of those people with a little mental condition sometimes. Just staring off into nowhere. I'm serious heart that. Y'all okay tonight? I'm talking about people are weeping and praying and coming to the altar and testifying. And Brother Jesse wasn't testifying. He is preaching, man. And there's some just sitting there like, look like they're on drugs. Like them drugs they give kids that make zombies out of them. Amen. Some of y'all been dipping in the baby's Ritalin, ain't you? Y'all all right? Hey, somebody, hey, man, we ought to be able to hear. Hey, when God's moving and God's dealing with hearts and people are weeping and we don't feel something, brother, we better get worried and say, God, if they can hear you and if she can hear you and he can hear you and God, you're stirring in their heart and stirring in his and stirring in her, God, why don't I hear you? It's not because he's not speaking. She knew his voice. Yeah. Hey, it's Pete, let me in. He didn't have to tell her who he was. She knew exactly who it was. Man, when it's a man of God, I want to know that voice. And I've heard some lately that said they were a man of God, but that voice didn't ring familiar with me. Amen. There's a bunch of charlatans out there. They about as much preacher as Mickey Mouse. By the way, I'd rather hear Mickey Mouse. Amen. Amen. Quiet on me again. I'd rather hear a cartoon character than a fraud and a fake. Amen. Ain't got no Bible. Ain't got no content to what they're saying. Just a bunch of this breathing. Oh, the Lord loves you. Shut up. Don't fly around here. Amen. Man, we ought to know the voice of the man of God. We ought to know the voice of God when he speaks. Amen. And boy, when God's speaking to other people and I ain't getting it, now I'm a little bit jealous. I want him to talk to me too. And chances are, if he's talking to everybody else, he is talking to me. Isn't it amazing? I may never get past this. My wife's in nursery, and she always tells me, make her quick, I got nursery. And every time she does, it blows out in here. We go to 9 o'clock. She'd just much rather see you get a blessing as I had. Amen. Isn't it amazing how a preacher can take a text and begin to preach? And maybe you've never had this happen, but I've had it happen over and over and over and over again. God will speak to my heart about something totally opposite of what he's preaching. While he's looking at that text, God will say, check this out. That's for them, this for you. Preacher can preach, and five people get five different things out of it. You think, well, this sermon would have been good if so-and-so's here. God knows who's here. God's got your address. He's got his GPS locator on you. Amen. That makes me nervous with these new gadgets, the iPhone and them tablets, and so-and-so would like to know your location. No. I had a stupid iPhone ask me out all the time. The cloud or whatever wants to know you. That cloud stuff makes me nervous too. All your information's out in the cloud. Uh-oh, it's out there somewhere. Amen. Wants to know my location. Hey, God's got your number. He knows where you are. Amen. Isn't it amazing how he can give you exactly what you need? He can give Brother Robbie what he needs, and at the same time meet Brother Freddie's need, and at the same time meet Brother Jason's and Brother Carl's and Brother Bob's and Brother Greg's, and boy, meet every need out of the same statement or the same message. But what good is it if God's speaking? We ain't hearing. Some of you have drifted a little too far from the shore. You've got out of earshot. My mama used to say, don't ever get out of the sound of my voice. And I used to think, how do I know if I'm past the sound of your voice? Good Lord, that's from New Georgia to California. I'd never walk that far, amen. My mama said, when it starts getting dark and you can't hear me, you're too far. Woo, that's deep. When it starts getting dark and you can't hear God, you're too far. Because I promise you, God ain't drifted nowhere. He's right where he was. He said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hey, God never changes. God never moves. She recognized the voice. We ought to recognize the voice of the man of God. Every service, man, we ought to be praying, God, give him what I need. God, take whatever he's got and make it something I need.
Amen.
It's amazing to me how you get in this pulpit. And I know some preachers, man, they're nailed down to what they have typed on a piece of paper. I'm nailed down to nothing. That's it. And I'm not bragging that I preach without notes or nothing like that. I want God to be able to say, go this way and that. And sometimes that costs us because I run a rabbit and but maybe God wants a rabbit run. Amen. I could care less. I just want to mind him. Amen. God get in here and say, oh, she's there. Say this. Say that. Amen. Now, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do my best to obey him. She recognized the voice of her preacher. She knew Peter's voice. Now watch this. And she opened not the gate, verse number 14, for gladness. She opened not the gate for gladness. Now, wait a minute. Stay with me. They've been in there what? Doing what?
Praying.
Praying about what?
Peter,
because he was where? In jail. Somebody knocks on the door. And somebody on the other side says, hey. And she knew who it was. She didn't even open the door. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you'll open it, man, I'll come in there and sup with you. I mean, you know what I'm saying? She didn't even open the door. You know why? She got so excited. She opened not the door, the Bible said, for gladness. I can just see as soon as she heard Peter's voice, woo-hoo! And but she took off running. Now listen, you're not in danger of getting too excited around here. Amen. Brother, when we recognize the voice of the man of God and we recognize the voice of God himself and he sets high and sees low and cares enough about little old me and you to come by where we are, take time out of his schedule and speak to our heart and God comes by and whispers peace or whatever it is, son, we ought to rejoice and be glad. Hey, I just heard God. Man, we ought to get plumb out of control sometimes. Amen. We ought to just go Brother Tommy every now and then. Run a lap. Do something. Some of y'all are so refined and dignified. I'd like to be there when your grandbaby hits a ball off a tee. I would. I'm going to point and go, you do this. Don't get out of control now. Let me tell you something. I seen a commercial the other day at Publishers Clearinghouse. It's giving away like $7,000 a week for the rest of your life. I ain't signed up, but if that stuff comes to my house, I live 4 miles from here. I promise you, Jay Collins, the mayor of Billerica, will be going, what's going on down 61 down there? Sounds like sirens are coming. Somebody said, didn't you hear Eddie won $7,000 a week for the rest of his life? Woo! Yeah, boy, I'd be like a Banshee engine, brother. So would you. Amen. As a local pastor resigned his church, I heard what they was paying him. I thought, my goodness, I'd be shouting if I'd been him. Amen. Y'all listening? Man, we'll shout over that worldly stuff.
Amen.
We'll rejoice over material things.
Amen.
Amen. If your mortgage company called you tomorrow and said, we don't know what's going on, whether it's some kind of clerical error, but your house is paid for. Somebody help me right there. Would y'all shout about it? I mean, no house. What are you talking about? Yeah, you don't owe nobody no money. Brother Charles Orr, yeah. His pocket's so deep, he's got them tucked in his sock. Amen. They call me tomorrow and tell me my house is paid for. Woo! Hey, you're going to hear it, friend. Amen. Yeah. We shout over that material stuff and you'd think that it's normal.
Amen.
Peter didn't come through the gate. Now listen, the angel broke him out of prison. Remember, that gate opened all by itself.
Yeah.
Open sesame. It's that kind of deal.
Yeah.
That's the Holy Ghost, amen.
Yeah, sure.
Opened that gate. He could have opened that gate too. He could have just walked in the middle of the room and said, what's up? He didn't walk through the gate. She didn't even see his face. She just heard his voice and took off rejoicing for gladness. She recognized his voice, but then she rejoiced in the victory. That's what I've been praying for. That's what I've been praying for. Had old boy come down here this morning and got saved. I've been praying. When did he call me, Levi? Where are you at? It wasn't Tuesday, wasn't it? We was on visitation when he called. The guy got saved this morning. Put your iPhone up and listen to me. Let's go back to point number one. Hey, man. I've been praying for that dude all week long, man. I come in this morning, I grabbed Brother Freddy. People was grabbing me and telling me this and that and other. And I thought, I got to get Brother Freddy. I said, hey, this dude over here, if he comes to the altar, why don't you come with him? I said, man, he's ready to get saved. He's confused about a couple things, but I need somebody that knows how to deal with it. You help him. I mean, I'm leading the choir thinking, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. You know what I was anticipating? An answer to my prayer. I've been asking God, let that guy get saved. Maybe one of these days the Lord will help him enough, he'll be able to share his testimony with you.
Yeah,
he's like some of y'all, friend. He didn't get saved out of the nursery.
Yeah.
But he'd been out there.
Yeah.
God saved him out of some wicked stuff, man.
Amen.
Just like he did most of us.
Amen.
How dare us? God, I heard God's voice, but God heard mine.
Yeah.
Amen. Imagine that girl took off running, and Peter's going, Rhoda, hey, where are you going? God heard my voice. It'd be a cold day in the booger man's house before I sit here after God speaks. Man, I'm going to loosen the knot of my tie. Amen. I'm going to rejoice.
Amen.
In the victory.
Yeah.
She recognized the voice and then rejoiced in the victory. Hey, God has come through.
Yeah.
Again.
Yes, sir.
You think Brother Tommy acts like such an idiot? Because
right.
He is. But the reason he acts like such a nut, man, God, he heard the voice of God. He saw the hand of God move. Now he's rejoicing in victory.
Yes, sir.
God heard his prayer.
Amen.
God did a miracle for him. Personal. How many times has God done something for you personally? And we seem to forget it just like that. No longer has God stepped in and came through, and then we turn around here, oh, what are we going to do about this? What are we going to do? Man, God just did something great in your life last week. And now you out here about to commit sideways again? I mean, what's the matter with you? Is he the same God this week that he was last week? Is he still on the throne? Does he still possess all power and all knowledge? Is he not still God? Hey, somebody ought to rejoice in the victory tonight. Amen. I'm a victorious child of God. I get a little leery of these people always running around. Shut up. I know people got problems, but don't brag about it. Y'all all right? People think that's what their calling life is, just to go around bragging about how horrible their life is. Man, I run into people at Walmart, make me want to kill myself. I'm probably fishing to get in the flesh, but you're in Walmart. I'm in Walmart. When I go in Walmart, I'm there for a purpose, to get whatever I need and walk by that clearance aisle. Amen. I want to see what kind of deals Clarence has got today. Amen. I find the shortest line. I pay for dog food at the jewelry counter. Yeah. Amen. Somebody help me right there. Sporting goods, whatever's open. Amen. Get me out of here. Run into somebody that never fails. Brother Eddie, you got a minute? I'm in Walmart. Here we are, counseling. This aisle's closed, excuse me. This person is having a crisis. Spill on aisle 5, amen. They're right in the middle of Walmart. Not just, and I ain't talking about, hey, y'all pray for us. We're having a little hard time. No, I'm talking about full-blown, bawling. You want to know how many times that's happened to me? In Walmart. My wife said, did you get everything you needed at Walmart? Mm-hmm, got some extra too. You ain't going to believe what they're giving away down there today. Amen. I just stopped and get me some antidepressants before I left. Listen, I'm not making light of people's trouble. Don't get me wrong. Because we're living in a world that's wicked as hell itself. But our life more ought to be more one of rejoicing than it is one of complaining. I don't mind praying for you. I don't mind hearing your trouble. I'm just saying some people never have anything good to say. Rhoda went flying in that place going, whoopee! Whoopee! They said, what's the matter with you, girl? Peter's at the door. She didn't gum in like an average teenager. Why are y'all so tired? Majority of you ain't never climbed a tree in your life. I know your thumbs are hurting. Bunch of retards. I've been here 21 years. I can get away from some. We get away with some stuff. Amen. I never see adults walking around with monsters in their hand. It's always some 12-year-old. Why do you need an energy drink? I understand. I'm 50. I might need some boost, amen? Kid walking around with a big old 25-ounce, whatever it is, energy drink. I'm like, I'll give you some energy. Boom. Got to get my energy. Got to go home and play Mario. About got that dude to the 5th level or world or whatever it is. I don't know. Amen. Energy. Anyhow. Walk around, act like we're about half dead. Put a smile on your face, man. She rejoiced. Or she recognized the voice. She rejoiced in the victory. There's a progression here. She ran. I like that. She ran. She didn't come. Y'all ain't gonna believe this. What is it, Ron? Where? Oh. Well, I was just out in the yard and like, you know, I was doing this and like I was returning. I was updating my Facebook and like I was just standing there like minding my own business and somebody started beating on the door and it was like Peter. Man, she come flying in the house. I'm mad she slid up in there sideways, man. Woo, safe. Hey, man, we got something to run for. Hey, man, inside our hearts, whether we're running laps around this building, there ought to be something inside here jumping up and down saying, glory to God. God is good. God has heard my cry. I have heard the voice of God. I've got something to rejoice. Good God Almighty, somebody ought to help me a little bit tonight. We got something to rejoice about. Amen. Run every now and then. We was out there visiting the other day at subdivision. They took us to the very back, me and Sister Angie and Levi and Cora. Well, I noticed when we was going in, you start noticing things like this when you get older. All the way in that subdivision, we was going like this. Well, when I was 20, it even crossed my mind. The whole time I'm thinking, I got to walk back up this. My wife works out. She runs on the treadmill. And I watch and eat tater chips. Hey, man. I get them cool ranch Doritos. Go, baby. Go, baby. Help me right there. I felt a little something right there. Amen. Hey, man. That cool ranch is good for your soul, brother. Amen. They don't call it cool for nothing. Man, we walking out of that subdivision, I'm going up. I get to the door, the lady comes to the door, I said, we're from Happy Valley Baptist Church. And if I don't die before Sunday, I'll preach if you'll come. I ain't lying. Lord, get a little excited, man. Are y'all listening to me? Lord, just get a little bit fired up. You used to be excited about this. You did. You used to be excited about God and the things of God. You used to be excited about the bus ministry. Man, Saturday morning, I was sitting in church, Brother Freddie. I turned around to say something to Cora. She was sitting behind me. And I sat back there, and there was Lydia and the girls and Denzel, man, smiling. I thought, man, them kids drove 2.5 hours. Come see their preacher, boy. I got excited, man. Amen. Stuff ought to still stir us up every now and then. Hey, man, I'm telling you, it ought to stir us up every now and then. Hey, Peter said, I've come to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Hey, every now and then, we ought to be reminded that one day God spoke to our heart. Amen. We ought to get a little zeal about us. Let me finish this right fast. I'm done. It ain't 9 o'clock, is it? I said I was going to preach to 9 o'clock. Look at verse 15. Watch this. And they said, now this is the praying crowd. This ain't the Sanhedrin. This is the church of Jesus Christ. Not Latter-day Saints, but this is the New Testament church. And they say unto her, or said unto her, watch this, thou art mad. You know what they said? Rhoda, have you lost your mind? We in here praying and fasting for Peter. He's in jail. No, he's at the gate. You have your cotton big in mind. Isn't it amazing how we are when God answers prayer? I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I prayed and God answered. Duh. That's the concept of prayer. I ask, he do. Amen. Man, we ought to pray in expectation. Rhoda comes flying in the door and she is tore up. I mean, boy, she just heard the voice of the man of God she'd been praying for. And she said, Peter's at the gate. They said, take a pill, sister. You've got a fever. You've been touched. You're mad. I want you to notice something. She reaffirmed vehemently. In other words, she wouldn't take no for an answer. Look at the rest of the verse. But she, say the next word with me, constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. They still didn't believe it. I can just see her standing there. They said, now Rhoda, you're getting a little beside yourself. You're imagining stuff again. You fell asleep over there praying. You had a dream. And I can just see her. I'm telling you it's Peter. I've heard him preach. I was there at Pentecost the other day when he preached and all them people got saved. I was one of them. I heard the message. Hey, I'm telling you, Peter's at the gate. No, Rhoda John. No, I'm telling you. Hey, we ought to get vehemently about this thing, man. And we ought to reaffirm this thing day in and day out and day in and day out. Hey, you ought to rehearse your testimony. How long has it been since you told it? How long has it been since you told somebody about when you got saved? I tell it everywhere I go. People get tired of hearing it. I don't care. It's my favorite story in the whole wide world. My favorite story. We was at Ryan's Saturday night, last night, Granny Faye's 87th birthday. And Katie and Chase fixed Hayden a taco. And he's sitting there by me. He's sat with Papa. I told Katie and Chase, I said, I didn't ever tell you about the first taco I ever ate. I was staying with Granny Faye. She lived in Decatur, Georgia. That was going to the big city. And Granny Faye lived in apartments. I thought they was filthy, stinking rich, man. I did. We lived in a single wide trailer on the farm. She had an apartment with shag carpet in it, man. Does anybody know, you feel my age right there? That was in back in, friend. She was cool. And Granny Faye said, I'm going to fix you supper. I said, what would happen? She said, I'm going to make you tacos. I said, I don't like tacos. She said, you don't like tacos? I said, no, ma'am. What's a taco? If I ain't never seen it, you know, I don't like it. She said, oh, trust me, you'll like this. I don't like tacos. I ate every one she made. I ate every one she made. And I'm telling Katie and Chase that story about the first taco I ever ate. Hayden said, hey, Papa, hey, can I tell you my taco story? Didn't you? He said, I got a taco story. I said, you do? He said, yeah, I'll never forget. He started off just like I did. He said, I'll never forget the first time I ate a taco. He said, it was so good I ate 20. He had to one-up Papa one way or the other. You know what he was saying? I got a story too. Hey, if somebody over here's got a story about how they got saved by grace, hey, I want to tell my story. And I want to tell my story. Hey, let me tell my story. Hey, we ought to rehearse that thing continuously. She constantly, the Bible said, constantly affirmed. You know what that means? Reassuring her family and her friends. It's real. This is not a wildfire. This is not an emotional roller coaster. It's real. I'm telling you, he's at the door. Well, maybe you saw his angel or heard his angel. No, it's him. I can just see Peter out there. Hey! Finally, they saw him for their self. Finally, they saw him for their self. Listen, she recognized his voice. She recognized his voice. There's so many people
have been out of church for so long that if they were flipping on the radio and going through the dial on Sunday morning and ran across 1,500, they wouldn't even know it was me. There's some people in this church that it's been so long, if God spoke to their heart, they wouldn't even know it was Him. But as a Christian, when you get to the place where you no longer hear God's voice, you're in dangerous territory. I see people all the time, Brother Freddie, I've witnessed it, you have, Brother Charles, they get out of church way before they get out of church. Does that make sense? Sometimes I wonder if there's really a such thing as cloning or out-of-body experiences, because I think they bring their body here and they go somewhere else. I'm not being mean or critical. I want them to hear God's voice. I want God to speak to their heart. You know, it's God's voice that keeps me going. If I got to a place where I didn't hear God's voice anymore, I don't know what I'd do. I sure couldn't preach no more. I couldn't do it. Man, I got to have Him. I got to hear Him. I want to hear that convicting voice. I got to quit. I want to hear that comforting voice. I want to hear every aspect of God's voice. When I'm doing wrong, I want to hear, hey! When things are getting tough, I want to hear Him say, son, it's okay. I want to know His voice. Then when I hear His voice, I want to rejoice in the victories that God's given. And then I want to run and verify that to somebody else. Hey, what good is it if God speaks to me and does great things and I don't share that with anybody else? And then they're going to look at me and go, he's out of his mind. I'm just going to reaffirm it over and over and over and over and over. I'm just going to keep telling. I don't care how crazy you think I am. I may be crazy, but I have more fun than you do.
Amen.
Amen. Crazy ain't half bad.
Yeah. Amen. Yes, sir. That's right.
Amen. Guy's walking down the street one day. He saw a fella sitting in the lounge chair on the sidewalk. He had a fishing rod with a lure on the end of it. He was throwing that lure out in the middle of the street, reeling it in. He threw it out there and reeled it in. That guy stood there and watched him for a few minutes. He finally stopped me. He said, buddy, what are you doing? He said, shh, I'm fishing. He said, fishing? He said, shh, yeah, I'm fishing. He said, man, ain't no water out there. Shh, I'm fishing. Man, there ain't no fish in that street. He said, shh. He said, sit down, get you a chair. I got an extra pole. He said, man, why would I want to do that? He said, you can get a check every month like I do. Amen. You get a check. We may be a little crazy, but we have a good time. Man, the Lord's good. Have you heard His voice lately? I heard David Gibbs one time. Brother Todd, come just play, so I'll shut up. I heard Brother David Gibbs preach the message one time. I forgot where he was, but here was the title of his message, Speak, Lord. You remember that? Were we together? Speak, Lord. He said, we speak to God all the time, but do we ever stop and say, okay, God, speak, Lord. I forgot what his text was, but I'll never forget that message. He said, every now and then we just need to stop and say, speak, Lord. I need to hear you. I need to hear your voice. How long has it been? You're not rejoicing anymore because you're not hearing anymore. I wouldn't blame you. If I hadn't heard from God in 6 months or a year, I wouldn't have nothing to rejoice about either. I'd get on this altar tonight and say, God, I want to hear your voice. Speak to me. Speak to me, God. Even if it has to be a little correction at first, I'll take that. I want to hear your voice.
God, I know you hadn't left me. I've left you, God. I'm asking you, speak to me. Speak to me. God, if you'll speak to me again, I'll rejoice just in the very fact that I heard your voice. I'll run and tell somebody else about it. Let's stand to our feet tonight. You mind the Lord tonight.